You are listening to KAOS 89.3 FM Olympia. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with KAOS always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show. It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming. The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before. The Thunderbolt airs every week right here on KAOS. Listen at your own risk. Do you remember the old classic novel and movie, The War of the Worlds? Well, in that story, the Earth is invaded by technologically advanced Martians who begin wiping out humanity and who seem to be unstoppable. Our mightiest weapons proved utterly useless, and the Martians began systematically removing the human race from the planet Earth. Their victory seems assured, and everyone was about to give up hope until the Martians are exposed to a coronavirus. In this case, the common cold.
Silencio.
And the virus accomplished what humanity's most terrible weapons could not, i.e., the virus kills all the Martians, and humanity is saved. And I suppose it must remain to our imaginations as to whether or not the Martians may have proven to be more responsible stewards of the Earth than humanity has proven to be. All right. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for November 6th, 2020. So, the election has happened. But since I record the individual sections of my show anywhere between a few days to a couple of weeks before airtime, I face the difficulty this week of airing a post-election show when I don't know who won the election. So at this point, I honestly don't know who's going to win because I'm still trying to figure out if revealing the Rump's tax records is this cycle's October surprise, which is usually the signal of which candidate that the Wall Street war machine is going to install in the White House this time. James Comey throwing Hillary Clinton under the bus was how I figured out that the machine was going to go with the Rump in 2016. But since all the rules are now off the table when it comes to the Rump, then I haven't seen anything that is obvious this time. So in light of my ignorance and in keeping with my quest to keep my show ever evolving, I've decided that this week I'm going to start off the show with a movie review. So I love movies that shake up standard reality paradigms. Therefore, I'm going to recommend a Netflix movie called Captain Fantastic. In Captain Fantastic, Viggo Mortensen plays a single father with six children, and he is raising them in, let us say, a rather unorthodox manner. His stated purpose, in fact, is to raise a generation of philosopher kings and queens. His children learn everything from interpreting Albert Camus to how to ambush and kill a deer armed only with a hunting knife, for instance. The movie opens, in fact, with a scene featuring the 16-year-old son doing just that, whilst covered head to toe in mud. All six of the children speak several languages. All six of the children have the Bill of Rights memorized. At one point in the movie, the 5-year-old daughter asks, "What is rape?" Dad explains that rape is when someone, usually a man, forces someone else, usually a woman, to have sexual intercourse against their will. So daughter then asks, "What is sexual intercourse?" Dad explains that sexual intercourse is when a man puts his penis into a woman. With a look of deep puzzlement, daughter asks, "Why would anyone ever want to do that?" Whereupon Dad explains, "Because it feels real good, and because that is how humans make babies." So daughter considered that for a moment, and then she observed, "But that is where we pee." Which is kind of funny, because I've always had some mixed feelings about that fact as well. And in addition to all these other eccentricities, rather than celebrating Christmas, this family instead celebrates Noam Chomsky Day. When one of his sons complains of this and asks why they can't just celebrate Christmas like everyone else does, Dad asks him, "Are you saying that you would prefer to celebrate a magical, fictitious elf rather than a living humanitarian who has done so much to promote human rights and understanding?" Dad then surveys the rest of his crew and says, "Okay, so defend your position now. Let us have a discourse on the subject of Christmas." But son does not have a comeback to that, and so he eschews further discourse on the subject and instead walks away, shaking his head. Then Dad gives his 5-year-old daughter a K-bar fighting knife for her Noam Chomsky Day present, presumably so she could begin her training on how to ambush and kill a deer armed only with a knife. and 5-year-old daughter is overjoyed with her gift. Again, this is called Captain Fantastic, and it is currently airing on Netflix. The main difference between Democrats and Republicans is that Democrats are elites who think that we, the masses, can be pacified into submission to their war machine. Whereas Republicans are elites who think that we, the masses, need to be beaten into submission. The important part, though, is that both parties are cogs in the same oppression machine. Now, had someone held a gun to my head in 2016 and insisted that I must vote for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, I frankly would have voted for Trump. Not only that, but at the time, I was in some ways glad that he ended up winning. This was because I knew that if Hillary Clinton had won, business as usual would have continued unabated, and the great American imperialism machine would have ground on, mass murdering women and children and utterly devastating entire regions of the planet. I figured that if Trump won, the left would finally friggin' wake up and take notice of the fact that we are on a train that is going down a mountain without brakes, and the bridge at the bottom has been washed away. And that what we need is emergency action. I was hoping that maybe a large and thriving anti-war movement, like the one we had going under George W. Bush, and that died without a whimper the day that Barack Obama took office. Well, I was hoping that the anti-war movement might even be revitalized. Well, none of that happened. The left, instead, decided to double down and keep following a reactionary herd of dying dinosaurs. They have all stuck with the same corrupt warmongers that have been running the Democratic Party for decades now. Evidently, we need to just keep electing these same people over and over again because they've been doing such a great job, right? Evidently, they continue to feel this way even though they couldn't even beat a literal cartoon character like Donald frigging Trump in an election. Now, some might think the fact that they couldn't even win an election against a ridiculous con artist with the emotional stability of a 10-year-old schoolyard bully might challenge their assumptions about winning candidates. But as with the fact that Barack Obama was actually a vile war criminal who personally ordered the mass murder of women and children with remote-controlled flying robots, and as with the fact that if there was any justice in this world, then Barack Obama would be spending the rest of his life in a prison cell, well, we just close our eyes and say, nyah, nyah, nyah. And we just refuse to think about things like that. It was the Russians' fault that Hillary Clinton lost that election. Yeah, right. And so now, the Democrats decide to double down and give us yet another lying, corrupt, reactionary warmonger as their candidate. And this time, he is not only yet another white dude, but he is a white dude who is almost 80 years old. Meanwhile, war criminal Barack Obama is out there encouraging young people to vote. And he is doing this just shortly after conspiring to kill the candidacy of the one candidate that young people were indeed showing up in droves in order to vote for him. The Democrats have learned nothing. So I suspect that the release of Donald Trump's tax records may be this cycle's October surprise, meaning that evidently Joe Biden is probably going to be their selectee. But frankly, I have no idea who is going to win. Frankly, I don't even really care all that much. I would know that there is at least one silver lining to the Rumpf's administration. Consider the fact that the election of Donald Trump almost certainly led to the Black Lives Matter movement. And I would suggest that the Black Lives Matter movement is probably the most successful civil rights movement in American history. And I suspect that BLM may very well never have come about without the Rump basically giving the police license to do whatever the hell they wanted to do. And it is looking like there may be literal battles in the streets no matter which way this election goes. And I have given up on anyone that still seriously thinks that the Democratic Party is anything other than an integral part of our problem. So frankly, that is why I don't really care which one of them wins this time. Biden is ahead in the polls, but a lot of Trump supporters don't participate in polls. And the kind of people who showed up to vote for Trump last time are the kind of people who are usually ignored by pollsters. And the polls don't even really matter all that much anyway. Because in any election that is anywhere near close, all they need are enough votes to get close enough to have their rigged voting tabulators in Ohio, Michigan, and Florida, amongst other places, and to unleash their fraction magic vote counting software. And the winner will be, as usual, whoever Goldman Sachs says the winner will be. If anything, this evil machine needs to have its gears jammed. And I suspect that would happen much more quickly under the Rump than it would under Joe Biden, because if Biden wins, then all of the usual characters will be back controlling his puppet strings. And those people could probably hold things together a little more efficiently than this gang of crazy psychopaths that the Rump has chosen to surround himself with. Yes, Joe Biden's handlers will all be very sane psychopaths. And these days, I'm wondering whether a sane psychopath is even an oxymoron anymore. Well, I'm sorry, people, but I don't want their imperialist war machine to operate more efficiently. I want it to stop being an imperialist war machine altogether, in fact. I would prefer, in fact, living in a world where everyone is able to accomplish anything that they are capable of accomplishing, but that they cannot currently accomplish due to some asshole standing there with a foot on their neck. And ultimately, it doesn't matter if it's the left foot on your neck or the right foot. It is a foot on your neck, and that foot is going to stay there until people figure out that their entire machine is rotten to its core and needs to be drastically altered. So everyone seems to consider these latest civil uprisings centered upon Black Lives Matter as a spontaneous reaction to the murder of George Floyd. But actually, there was absolutely nothing spontaneous about that uprising. A lot of people have been doing a lot of organizing for a lot of years to make this moment happen. Yes, this latest uprising, which in total numbers of participants has now become the largest protest movement in American history. And this uprising is, in fact, the end result of over 400 years of non-stop work that often proved fatal to the people who did that work.
Try and get behind you. Don't you let them do it. You know what I'm talking about? You hear me talking?
I know your history books never told you this, but there has been a massive civil rights movement in this country going on nonstop for that entire 400 years. This is how activism works. It is three steps forward and two steps back. It often takes a very long time. During the 19th century, the superiority of the white race was not even questioned. Until the Civil War, advocating for the abolition of slavery was considered to be so off the charts radical that advocating for abolition was literally illegal in many parts of the country. And doing so in some parts of the country was very likely to get you lynched. Postmasters were fully empowered to confiscate abolitionist literature, and they did so whenever they could find it. So we have come a ways since then, but progress is glacially slow. But it is there. 3 steps forward, and then 2 steps back. You bang your head on a wall for years or for centuries, and then, seemingly suddenly, but actually only after the requisite years or centuries of head banging, the wall collapses. And we can move our 3 steps forward. Times like this is what all that work we've all been doing for all these years has all been all about. Times like these are what all those people gave their lives for. So let's push this hard and fast while we have the momentum. We owe it to those martyrs, and we owe it to ourselves. Black Lives Matter. And on that note, we're going to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolts will be back in just a moment.